Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys, and welcome to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host, Davey, and this is the show where we talk about anything and everything raised with a vibration. We got a very special show lined up for you guys today. The energy is high, everyone is feeling bright, and there's light here. Well, as you guys know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. I'm your host, Davey, and we have a very special show, as I mentioned, lined up for you guys today. As you know, we have dedicated our lives for the sole purpose of doing anything and everything that we can to inspire you to possibly approach this life, this human experience, in a more positive way. Now, everyone has, of course, their preferred approaches to life. But here on the Vibration Station, we explore concepts, ideas, ideologies, call it whatever you'd like, that pierce through the traditional veil of what we, you know, just see on a day-to-day basis. We get in-depth into the mind, into emotion, and we dissect different ways of literally just how to be happy, how to live a happier, healthier, wealthier, and wiser lifestyle. In my humble opinion, there is none other person better than Dr. Michelle, who is our guest today for the show. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on with you. I always love being on your show.
I love having you on the show. For those of you that are familiar with Dr. Michelle, you know how wise she is. She's so humble and so wise. She has such a great understanding of the mind, of the human spirit, of the connection between mind and body, spirit. And of course, for those of you that are aware, every Friday at 11 on the Couch with Dr. Michelle, Channel 1. Here on LATalkRadio.com, of course. And for those of you that haven't checked out our show, man, you got to check it out. It's awesome. You get some great insight. And you know what? If you want to email her too, you can do so at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And also, if you want to email us live here on today's show, we can do that for you. datesvibrationstation@gmail.com. I do have my email open in front of me. If we do see an email come through, we'll go ahead and address it. First and foremost, Doc, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, as we are both so lucky to be here in Southern California, it is a beautiful day here. Oh, what a great time to enjoy, just meditating and enjoying this. And even if you're back east, you know, in the snow and whatever, you can just kind of put yourself in a really good kind of Southern California sunshine frame of mind.
That's it. You said it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Speak about a good frame of mind. As you know, today's show, drum roll, we're going to be talking about how to, first of all, manage your anger. Now, we've talked about anger on the show before, but today's approach, as we always approach topics, the same topics with a different, like today's approach is going to be different. Today's show, we're going to be talking about, number one, why do we hold on to grudges? Number two, how to let them go, right? A couple signs that you are holding on to anger, unnecessary anger. We're going to kind of go into who that anger affects, why we choose to hold on to anger, if it actually does serve us. Can holding on to anger serve us? Maybe. We'll dive into that. And why do we do it, right? What's that trigger in the back of our minds that says, I want to hold on to this. I want to feel bad, or I want to feel down, or I want to feel shitty because something happened or someone said something. Why do we choose to hold on to that? And then, of course, the most important, how do we let them go? So, Dr. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your profound wisdom with us. So, foremost, Doc, I'm just going to get straight into it. With you being obviously a doctor of the brain, you know, not a brain surgeon, but understanding, you know, how the chemicals are released and those chemicals' relationship to the emotions. Why do most humans, I'd say 99.9% of people on this planet, choose to hold on to thoughts and consistently hold on to these thoughts and create patterns that don't necessarily make us feel good? Why do we choose? And I'm guilty of it too. I do it all the time, and then I have to catch myself, realign myself, bring myself back up. But why do we choose to hold on to grudges or pain or anything that kind of keeps us down?
You know, that's a great question, but it's also a loaded question. I think there's a lot of you know, different perspectives in psychology about that. But, you know, there's sometimes the biological aspect. You know, there's also the psychological aspect. And sometimes, you know, coming from hanging on to anger for some people, it's about, you know, neural patterns that have been firmly formed for years and years and years. You know, we learn how to react to things, whether it's having fears. Some people have fears, and, you know, they've had fear for so much of their life, such as in post-traumatic stress disorder, that their brain patterns automatically go to fear.
Right.
You know, any kind of emotions, people who have depression, you know, they're used to feeling down or low or having those negative thoughts because it's neural patterns that are so firmly formed, you know, in our brains. Same thing they say sometimes with anger. People who are used to being angry or have a lot of anger and go to that as, you know, a frustration first and instantly react before thinking.
As a default. It's almost like a default.
Ask me why people do that. It's very hard to just switch it off and change if you've had patterns of doing that for years, you know.
Right.
So that's one explanation, you know, is the
that
biological forming of the neural patterns.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I think, you know, another aspect, Doc, is there's definitely a fine line between growing up in an environment that is surrounded with certain emotions. For example, if you grew up in an environment that your parents were very loving, or your family or whoever your caretakers were very compassionate and showed you love and took care of you, versus an environment that didn't necessarily cater to, you know, how special and unique you are as a young child. And maybe there was anger or yelling or frustration, arguments in the household, or maybe it was a combination of both and it weighed a little bit heavier on one end. So there's this fine line between, you know, repeating generational patterns, right? Repeating the dogma of generations versus taking the initiative and saying, well, I recognize this didn't work for my father, this didn't work for my grandfather, it didn't work for my mother, it didn't work for my grandmother, and I see my brother and sister struggling, trying to keep up with, you know, what our parents think that we should be doing and this and that, but I choose as an individual to break that cycle and say, you know, I'm going to choose to do whatever is in my God-given power to get happy get happy. Yes, of course, that's the ultimate goal. It can be difficult sometimes. It is difficult to get happy. Happiness is truly an achievement, right? It's definitely a goal, but at least just like let go of those grudges, let go of, it's almost like, you know, the Romeo and Juliet, the Capulets and, I forget the other one, but it's like these families, they fought for centuries and then they didn't even know why they were fighting. They just hold on to this grudge and it gets passed down generation to generation to generation. So there is that fine line between being a victim to your circumstances and saying, yes, you know, because I was surrounded by this, I don't know anything else but to act this way. But then there's also, well, I realize that this doesn't feel good. It doesn't serve the people around me. It didn't serve me when I was surrounded by it. So I'm going to break the cycle and take it upon myself to explore new ways to, you know, learn to let go of stuff. What are your thoughts?
Well, I totally agree. I think you are right on. You know, it's always in psychology, though, we always look at different causes. There's usually no one particular reason for something. You know, I always try to put different explanations together. You know, and it is sort of a science, so we have to look at biology, environment, training, experiences out there in the world as we age. So we have to put all those different things together. You know, biologically speaking, there is something called intermittent explosive disorder, and it is categorized in the DSM, which, in case your listeners don't know, it's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, and it's truly something that they think is chemically based. And some people cannot help their impulses. Like some people can't help major depression or inheriting that, or they can't
help
inheriting certain things. And it's under the disruptive impulse control conduct disorders category. So it's very difficult sometimes to find out if someone's anger is environmentally based because they've seen it and that's all they know, or if there is chemically something going on. And so it can be both, is what I'm saying. So, I agree with you about the environment.
This is a perfect segue. I actually did just receive an email from a listener. This, maybe you can define what type of anger this is, right? And Karen, if you're listening, thank you so much for emailing. We really appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and read this email. And we got Doc Michelle here with us in the studio. And she's going to give us her psychological wisdom. Let's rock and roll, baby.
I hope I can help.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. She says, hey, Davey and Doc, my name is Karen. I am 65 years old. Recently, I just became very angry at my ex-boyfriend. I found out he asked my best friend out on a date a few days after breaking up with me. It turns out that he was her boyfriend in high school. So I feel like there was still some lingering emotion before he started dating me. I don't know how to feel about this. I'm very angry at the both of them, but at the same time, I don't want to lose him as a friend. What do I do?
Wow. That's a good question. So she's really angry, of course. A lot of people say that the root of anger is pain. Okay?
I agree with that 100%.
Yes. If you look back, you know, at how can I... I'm angry because I'm hurt, basically. That's why many of us get anger. Also, you know, by the way, let me just throw this out real fast. It is a part of the fight or flight old brain response mechanism, because when we get angry and pose an anger posture or fight, that's how we're protecting the tribe. So that's a normal reaction as well. But in terms of, you know, modern day relationships and being hurt and angry, it's difficult because, I mean, they're not in a relationship anymore, right?
Right. It does say here that she is very angry at her ex-boyfriend. She found out he asked her best friend out on a date. right, a few days after breaking up with her. And it turns out that he was originally her boyfriend in high school before before they started dating. So, I'll just dip in for a sec. Karen, yeah, what I sure. share is, first of all, don't take this on personally. Okay, here's the thing. Karen, when we, as we age, right, and this is something that I can see in my own life, even, at 26 years old, I can see, I having a child and having a wonderful fiance and wife and just this whole life, and then seeing how I was when I was young and then being hurt and all these things happening in life. Karen, you got to understand, we hold on to things that right. make us feel young. And Dr. Michelle, I know that this is something that we've talked about before, and I'm mm-hmm. sure that I probably got this from you. But Karen, I'm sure that the reason why he went back to your best friend when they used to date is, and obviously we don't know the depth of the yeah. situation, but maybe he met you, he really, really liked you. He might be in a different stage in his life where, he then may have reconnected with her through you. It turns out you guys are best friends, or maybe they had stayed in contact throughout the years. But Karen, don't take this personally, hon. This is one thing that you need to know if you had the ability to attract and manifest, a man in your life, then you will always have the ability to attract and manifest a man in your life as you grow from these experiences. Don't take this personally. I know that you're hurt. And of course, anyone would be angry and upset at this, and you have the right to be angry and upset. But I see your question here is, what do I do? Because you want to still maintain a friendship. What I would do is, the most beautiful thing that we can do for ourselves and for each other and for our loved ones is learn to just forgive ourselves. So, I would start off with trying to forgive yourself for beating up on yourself. Don't look down upon yourself because, he may have chosen this girl over you. He's obviously trying to, rekindle a flame of childhood or innocence or just something that brought him back to that. And another thing is, you sound like a really amazing person. You sound, you had the courage to email us here live on the show. And if you just, put yourself out there in that same type of capacity, I'm sure that you're going to meet a man that is in perfect vibrational resonance with who you are and exactly what you're looking for. And look at this experience as possibly a learning experience and a stepping stone into a manifesting a relationship that's 10 times better than this one. So that's my two cents, Doc. I'm passing it on to you.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I think that's, it's really, you'd make a good therapist. It's really good. And I'm sure, get some support from your friends. If you have some nice friends who can give you a perspective of what they have seen, Karen, in your relationship. Sometimes friends don't speak up because they don't want to hurt our feelings. But then sometimes when we break up with people, our friends sort of open up and they'll say, well, I never liked him anyway because I thought he did this or I thought he did that. So try to get some feedback from other people and support. But more important, get in touch with your own intuition about the reality of the relationship. And really, you got to come down to some facts about what you saw as to why it was deteriorating. Dave, you and I don't know the background.
Right.
What type of anger he, exhibited. Many people sometimes, if they have been broken in a relationship or they're hurt or whatever, he may be showing passive aggressive behavior to her by dating her friend or dating his, an old friend who he may know would really hurt her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. It might really hurt her to know that. So it may be a passive aggressive move too. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's very true.
It may be sometimes we jump into things because we find the easiest next solution. Like you said, we have old good memories, fond memories. It's the next easiest solution. I'll go to somebody who I liked in the past. It's because a lot of people sort of can't be alone. That's why they start dating real quickly, because it's scary to be alone. Or you're getting back at someone and showing them that you are worthwhile or lovable, or you see,
so
I can get
true.
Somebody else. You know, so you don't
true.
Kind of, I don't know, maybe Karen could elaborate and maybe email you a little bit more if she's listening. What,
absolutely.
You know, what's going on with his personality as well? Maybe he is a passive aggressive
sure.
person, and this was, and or maybe this was yes. just a desperate, I can't be alone kind of a reaction. So I'm going to just find something quickly.
So true.
But,
difficult, the, sorry, go on, Doc, please.
No, her reaction is normal, of anger. And it's hurt. It's hurt. You know, how dare he do this so quickly? Wait a minute. I'm still hurt from the breakup, and he's already moved on. He probably hasn't moved on. He's just sort of denying the feelings.
Exactly. And, you know, Doc, this actually leads me into another facet of today's show that talk about discussing is holding on to this anger. Okay, so this is a perfect example. So here's a woman, Karen, if you're listening, once again, thank you for reaching out and sharing what you're going through with us. Here's a, you know, here's a woman that is hurt, recently hurt, rightly so. It's very valid. Anyone listening could understand why, you know, Karen would feel the way that she does. But the next step is, how long are we, or is she, Karen, you're a wonderful metaphor for everyone that is holding on to anger or going through anything,
mm-hmm.
but how long are we going to hold on to this for? How long, Karen, how long do you choose to hold on to this for? Are you going to let it affect your life? Are you going to, you know, like, take a week off work because you're depressed? Are you going, you know, it's how, to what extent are you going to allow these experiences to affect your life? Now, I want to also interlude and say, this is all about the human will and the human power. It could be anything as small as someone saying something to you that was offensive, or something as big as, you know, losing a loved one, right? It doesn't matter to what capacity or how big or small it is. What, at the end of the day, anger is anger. And of course, there's different layers and there's different depths of anger and different layers and depths of happiness and joy and ecstasy and contentment and compassion. But
right.
at the same time, what it all comes down to is, how long are we going to hold on to this, and to what capacity are we going to let it affect our lives? And I'm going to say one quote from the Buddha, and then Doc, obviously I'm going to pass this on to you, and we'll continue going on. Gotta want to get some more wisdom from you here. But one of the great quotes from the Buddha is, holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent to throw it at someone else.
Yeah.
The only one who gets burned is you.
Mm.
Right? So holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent to throw it at someone else. The only one who gets burned is you. One more is, once again, the Buddha, holding on to anger is like drinking a poison and expecting the other person to die.
Boy, is that good. You know,
yeah.
Wow.
It's true.
It is poison. Well said. No, it's true. And I, you know, it's funny that you reached out to me today. We were going to be on the air together, and you said, I'd like to talk about, you know, anger maybe, and what causes and how we can control, you know, fears and sadness and things like that. And I said, perfect. Right before we talked, I was listening to one of our favorites. You and I talk about Esther Hicks.
Oh, I love
her motivational talks. And she was talking about this experience she had. Someone rear-ended her. Actually, they backed into her in a parking lot. And and she was talking about her initial reaction. She was really angry, and she apparently drives a Cadillac. It's a tank, you know. But nonetheless, the person that backed into her backed so hard that their car, they had to separate the you know, AAA people had to come out and separate the bumpers, you know, with a mechanism. So she was so angry and so, you know, because apparently was a, you know, a teenager that I was just learning how to drive, and she was really angry. Then she talked about realizing how her anger affected this young person and how this young person was sitting in her car crying and begging for her forgiveness and saying her father was going to be mad at her. You know, she began to make a transition. So my point to this story is that she began to have more compassion. She turned her anger into more of an understanding and a rationalization and then into compassion. So that's a really advanced state of understanding. That's Esther Hicks, though. She's like that. But it's like, how do we make that transition? Here's the thing. When we get really angry about whatever, there's a theory, we call it cognitive appraisal of the anger, okay? And cognitive, you know, our thoughts, whatever, how we see what's going on. So there's a specialist in anger, a psychologist, Dr. Deffenbacher, and he has a model of anger. So he says, we get angry when we appraise a situation, right, as we're being blameworthy, it's unjust, right, punishable, you know. So, you know, we just make decisions about things. We should punish someone. But what a lot of psychologists try to do is change, like Esther Hicks did this morning in her lessons, is really interpret the situation a little differently. In other words, wow, you know what, I am angry. And it's normal to be angry, by the way. It's normal. It's called, we can't express our anger. We have to be angry. But how long are we going to hold on to it, like you said, Dave? And how explosive are we going to get to where we're hurting other people in our environment and other people are going to judge us and sort of avoid us? So, you know, it's like the important thing to understand, you know, is that we have to just sort of see how we're going to appraise what's going on. Of course we can get angry. It's normal with anything because we're hurt or something's not fair, like Dr. Deffenbacher said, that's unjustifiable or they need to be blamed and all that. But then, fine, then sort of make a rational turnaround of, okay, I've got to calm myself down. I've got to express what I'm feeling, maybe in a healthy way, or blurt it, pull back, and really think about it. Because what happens is when we hang on to anger, you know, is it makes us ill. The cortisol with the anxiety that's being spewed out into our bloodstream, which is a very damaging chemical to our immune system.
Is that the chemical that makes us feel like there's like smoke coming out of our ears?
Wow. Well, I don't know about that.
You know, like the old classic cartoon when, you know, when someone gets angry and the smoke comes out of the ears and their face gets all red. Is cortisol that, when that chemical is released due to anger, is that the chemical that actually makes us, does it perpetuate anger, or is it released when we trigger our own anger? Does that make sense?
Yes. I don't know about the physiological feeling, but...
No, I guess what I'm saying is, like, does cortisol perpetuate anger?
Yes. What's released, it's what is released, okay? You know, when we have anxiety or anger, or, you know, it's a hormone from, it comes from the adrenal cortex. It affects the metabolism of proteins, glucose, and things like that. So it affects our immune system. So it's just released. It's not a positive chemical that we're releasing when we get anxious. when right. we get, you know, have bad feelings or something. It serves a purpose, you know, I guess, again, in the fight or flight brain. But in the long run, if we perpetuate anger, it's not good for our immune system. So I guess that's how, you know, I could answer that for you.
No, that's perfect. That's exactly what I was wondering. Yeah, because it's interesting to think about how our emotions are actually the most powerful either toxins or medicines. Really, mm-hmm. that's what it comes down to. Our emotional state of consciousness, the way that we're feeling on a moment-to-moment basis, that is what is releasing these chemicals, mm-hmm. let it be serotonin or dopamine, norepinephrine. Obviously, these are chemicals that make you feel a certain way. You know, when you get angry, your serotonin goes down. Like you said, the cortisol is released. So when you're feeling angry or anxious or stressed, majority of the time, that's definitely going to take a toll on your life. You know, it's going to really, you know, obviously affect your life expectancy. It's going to not allow you the freedom of having as much natural energy that should be produced, you know, from the pancreas and other parts in the body and the brain. And it's obviously it affects your heart. So it's just interesting to think, Doc, how by choosing a mm-hmm. different approach to a situation, by consciously and deliberately taking a step back from a situation that you are angry about, and especially those circumstances and situations, experiences that you've been through that you hold on to throughout life. Sure. For example, you know, I know people that still hold on to pain. They have children, grown men and women, and they hold on to pain from stuff that happened when they were 14 years old. They still can't, you know, forgive that figure in their life, whether it was an uncle or a brother or a father or a mother or whatever, you know, any type of relationship, a boss, you know, just someone that played a role in their lives where they felt like they were victims. And then that actually leads us into a whole other aspect of this, the victimizer program. So there's a state of consciousness, but all thought patterns, they act as programs. The mind, the brain operates like an extremely high-tech quantum computer, right? So when we think a thought, it's processing this information, then releasing certain chemicals in the same way that a computer processes information in binary code and then releases that information into a language that's coded into something that we can understand. Obviously, it starts in a language that we can't understand and then manifests itself in a language that we can't, right? That's how coding and computers work. Same thing with the brain. You know, we feel this emotion. These chemicals are being released. We don't necessarily understand that's what's happening, but we can translate that by seeing and feeling, oh my gosh, I'm angry and I can't let go of this thing that happened 50 years ago or 40 years ago or whatever it is. You know, that is the deepest pain, and those are the things that do release free radicals and cause diseases. And you know, we tend to, I say in Western society, I feel like we tend to forget how important of a role our emotions play in our health. You know, Western society, the second that something is wrong with your health, they prescribe you something, or they, you know, hook you up to an IV or prescribe you something. Not saying that that stuff doesn't help, but it absolutely does when it's necessary. If you have, for example, depression, that is terrible. You can't live a life like that. You need to get on meds. That is 100% understandable. If you have so much pain and you can't get out of bed and you can't live and you need something to manage the pain and you don't abuse it, absolutely, that's understandable. But what I'm talking about is holding on to emotional pain for years and decades and letting it affect your life and having certain experiences in your life manifest due to that pain and still choosing to hold on to it. That is when it becomes fatal.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I was when we discussed this particular subject this morning, I started going on. I love to read studies, you know, because, you know, part of what I do, scientifically based. A lot of psychology is not. It's right. Theory, but a lot of it is scientific based. And there's a huge study done back in 2009, which isn't too long ago when it comes to large studies. So there were 25 studies done investigating coronary heart disease outcomes in initially healthy populations. And then there were 19 studies of people with existing coronary heart disorder. But in both types of studies, 25 different studies. So we're talking about 2,000 people.
Wow.
You know, with coronary heart disease and or without it. But what they found was there's statistic evidence showing that anger and hostility were highly associated with either exacerbating existing coronary heart disorder or the cause of creating problems and making someone have more a propensity towards coronary heart disorder. So, it says besides conventional physical and pharmacological interventions, you know, because they had to use, there's people who already had existing, medicines that they were taking.
Right.
This made the problems that they had worse. I won't go into how they created anger and all that in individuals. Those kind of experiments kind of freak me out a little bit because you have to induce anger in people sometimes. So
wow, that is very weird. How do they
guys, if you want to go and check it out, find out what your anger does for you physiologically, and it's kind of scary. There's tons of this stuff.
That is so, I mean, it really boggles your mind when you think about that, Doc. You know, when I say you, I say all of us. We have the power to really make or break ourselves. And it's all dependent upon our emotional state of consciousness, you know, how we choose to approach life. You know, and for listeners out there, anyone that is holding on to anger, you know, look up these studies for yourself. Listen to the show. Listen to Dr. Michelle. Listen to what, you know, we're sharing with you guys, because it's really important. We take our time to share this information with you and to do the research because we care about humanity. We care about you. We may have never met. We might not know you person to person, but we understand that your happiness affects us. Your happiness affects the entire planet. You have a ripple effect in this world. And every single thought that you think, action you take, expectation that you set for yourself, intention that you set for yourself or another, it affects this world in a way that you couldn't even fathom, right? So I really urge you, if you are holding on to any sort of anger, you might not know why you're holding on to this anger. If you're holding on to pain, which just like Dr. Michelle taught us earlier in the show, you know, most anger does come from the root of all pain.
Yeah.
Or all anger does come from the root of pain. So I really do urge you to seek any assistance or any guidance or any help that you can to rid yourself of holding on to this anger, because you're not only affecting yourself. You are only affecting yourself when you hold yourself, but you're also putting people around you in a vulnerable position. Of course, we're all responsible for our own emotions. So it's not your fault if someone else gets mad because of your anger, but you do carry the burden and the karma of opening that door. You do carry I'm not saying the karma, but you do carry the responsibility of, you know, being that angry one in the room that is ready to pick a bone with anyone that disagrees. You know, just do your best to find the happiness within yourself. And when you can find and come to a peaceful place of contentment within yourself, you know, then it will reflect to others. And guess what? Others will treat you with that same type of compassion. Do you realize the difference when you go someplace, when you go out in public and you're not in a good mood? And, you know, let's say you go to the market and the checker, the teller is, the checker is, you know, checking out your food and you strike a conversation with him. Do you notice how much nicer the whole energy of the line becomes? And even maybe the people behind you strike in and start to laugh or whatever. It's just like it creates a really nice vibe. And yeah, you got to keep in mind people, they're seeing hundreds of people a day and they're either in a bad mood or a good mood, or they're just trying to get out of there versus, you know, going there, being in a bad mood or, you know, just being very reserved. It's just, I need not go into more detail. You understand what I'm saying. The response that you give people is totally different. And opportunities are opened. You know, doors are open. When you put your ego aside and you're like, you know, I'm just going to feel good today. I'm not going to put anyone down. It's amazing the type of opportunities that will just literally fall on your doorstep because you are that light in the room. You're that bright light in the room. So I don't know.
Right.
You know what?
It's true. No, I agree. I you know, something I wanted to share with you that I think is pretty interesting is, you know, when some people say I need to go to therapy for my anger,
sure,
you know, and so they say, oh, my family said to go to, you know, therapy for my anger. What some people think, and I have patients like this, is that they can come in for 55 minutes and just be angry.
Right.
And I don't take it personally because I'm the observer. I'm the therapist. I'm the listener. They're not spewing their anger at me. Well, some people do, but I understand that's, you know, where that's coming from. It's just necessary for them to get things out. But, you know, I have people who've come in and just said, they're, you know, they're cussing and they're yelling, and this person did that to me, and this person, and they did that to me, and they said this, and they're just spewing anger and hate and, you know, telling me about all the things they're angry about, you know. And I listen, and then I say, yes, yes, and I support them for, you know, their feelings. But then I share with them, if you believe that you're going to get better, if you keep coming in here every week or every other week and continuing this kind of, you know, session, you're going to get worse. You're going to get worse. And I'll tell you why. Because what you're doing is you keep growing. You keep, you know, encouraging those neural patterns to develop deeper. You're just like anything that we're going to learn that's new, whatever it is. We it's repetition of a concept and rehearsal. We have to keep doing it over and over and over in order to learn something. Well, if our brains keep going over and over and are legitimately, you know, we get legitimized sometimes by some therapist that, yes, you just tell me all about your anger. And they don't do anything to say, how are you going to change this? How are you going to take care of you? You know, it's not helping the patient. The patient just gets to keep encouraging those neural patterns of hate and anger to grow. So what it's important to do, if you guys are out there and you're trying to manage your anger, and this is maybe helpful to Karen as well, who emailed you, it's like, how are you going to be able to change it up? How are you going to check yourself? How are you going to not dwell? How are you going to learn to change the way you think? How are you going to relax through breathing, imagery, you know, meditation? How are you going to improve your assertive communication skills, not aggressive? How are you going to be able to say, wow, I feel hurt because, not you're an asshole because, and recognize your triggers. Recognize what triggers you, and then think about, whoa, that's right. I get upset when people do this because I was teased in high school or I was teased in elementary school, and I react to being teased. If someone says something about whatever,
my weight or something, right?
So it's knowing your triggers and knowing why you have those triggers. We all have them. We all have anger. We all have low self-esteem about certain things. We all have problems. We're all sensitive. Every human on this earth.
Yes.
But knowing yourself better and saying, yep, that's what I do, when that's how I go off when people say certain things that trigger me, and I'm going to learn that I'm not going to allow that to affect my health or allow that to affect. I'm going to express myself, learn how to communicate to others what hurts. I'm going to learn how to talk about it, and I'm going to keep checking myself. And that's how you can change the way you think.
That's beautiful. No, and that makes perfect sense.
And exercise, because that really helps the body to relax afterwards, you know.
Yes, exercise and relax. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that's
meditation.
Huge, too. And you know, Doc, I actually remember, unfortunately, I don't remember the name of the guest that you had on your show. You might be able to remember if I describe it specifically enough. But I remember it was maybe 6 months ago, maybe longer, maybe a little bit shorter. But you had a guest on your show, and he maybe was a neuroscientist or something like that. But he was talking about how people that are angry and people that also use substances to suppress that anger, they are essentially like, what was the word? Almost like a soda, you know, a soda bottle that you've shaken up that's just ready to explode, you know?
Yeah.
And I find that substance abuse, and this is in the research that I've done, and also personal experiences that I've had with friends and family and whatnot, you know, people I've known throughout school, and substance abuse does come with people that are consistently angry. They do usually tend to try to find something to supplement that anger. And what I've found is when they do introduce substances, when they're angry, it amplifies those brain chemicals, right? Just like in the same way that's why there's a difference between a happy drunk and an angry drunk, you know, someone that's, you know, overly happy and starts touching people and laughing and they get annoying and in your face, you know, or you get the person that wants to start to pick a fight and pushing people around. So it's all, you know, I think that that is another aspect of it is don't let these emotions bottle up. Don't let these emotions boil in you, you know, and one of the things that your guest did say was, I love that show. That was a great show. One of the things your guest did say is exercise. If you're angry or if you're stressed or if you're anxious, just exercise, allow that release of energy to, you know, come out in a natural way that releases endorphins and does give you a high, make you feel good.
Right, I agree. And, you know, there is something to be said about, you know, just letting the dust settle and getting out of the, like, let's say you're having an argument with someone. I always tell couples, you know, it's like, before you get really escalated, get out of the house and take a walk. I don't care if you live in the busy city. You don't have to live in the country around beautiful trees. Just get out of the house and get out of there. Take a walk, start walking, and talk to yourself about, okay, why am I angry? Because I'm hurting, because I'm sad, because just de-escalate and you're right, Davey. It's exercising is so, you know, walking, moving, that's proactive. That's doing something. And when we, you know, let our body get involved sometimes, and I don't mean throwing things or punching things, when we let our bodies walk, run on a treadmill or whatever, it really helps. Really helps.
That's amazing. Doc, you are just so wonderful, and unfortunately, we have once again come to the conclusion of our show today, but you know, I know, and time flies when we're having fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Doc, you've been so amazing. I really, really so wholeheartedly love and appreciate you and all the wisdom and just compassion that you bring into the show and knowledge. And thank you so much for contributing so much to today's show.
My pleasure. For all those listeners, so fun.
Oh, thank you, Doc. You have a wonderful day. We love you so much. And for all those listeners out there, make sure to check out Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11 on the couch, Pacific Standard Time, Channel 1, LA Talk Radio. Love you so much, Doc. Talk to you
Love
soon.
Love you, Davey. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Happy all Memorial right. weekend. And for all those listeners out there, all the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours here on the Vibration Station. Make sure to keep the vibrations high. Stay happy. Don't let these unnecessary emotions take over your ability to stay happy. Let go of that anger. Let go of that anxiety. Don't worry about releasing free radicals and cortisol and all that bad stuff. Focus on feeling good. Live a happy, healthy, wealthy, and abundant life. Once again, all the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and appreciation from our hearts to yours. Have a great weekend, and we will see you next Sunday. Love you guys. Peace.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen. Right here on LA Talk Radio.